It's a podcast.
Oh
boy.
It's the podcast. Welcome to the podcast. You thought this wasn't a podcast? You're wrong. It's a podcast.
It still is. Still podcasting. Still keeping it real? Have we ever kept it real?
We're keeping it verbal.
Yeah. Got real, just talking.
If there's one thing a podcast is, it's a verbal agreement between us, the talkers, and you, the listener, that there will be talking.
Is that true? Sometimes, I guess there's usually talking. You're singing sometimes.
Sometimes there's more than talking, but there's never not talking.
God forbid.
We promise you all that.
God forbid silence.
And what are we talking about? That's right.
Racism.
This is Racist, the podcast where we talk about racism with the help of a guest or special guest or sometimes an old producer or another babysitter type. We listen to voicemails from people. What else do the people need to know? We recently took this show independent, so now we really just do whatever the hell we want. We talk about some current events sometimes up top. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have a guest. Sometimes we don't. That should catch up all the new listeners. Hi, welcome.
Did we say our names? Tawny
Who cares?
Yeah, we do a racism podcast. We try to help people. The former producers thing, we just can't let go.
No, it's like ghost visitors. It's like Scrooge. I like it, though. And speaking of our ghost of producer present, we have not yet introduced on the main feed here. We didn't tell him to get his mic ready, so we hope he's scrambling right now while
anything
I
could be
stall
happening.
To bam, introduce... Bam, bam. Producer for the foreseeable future, our old pal from Earwolf, where he recently left, and then I scooped him up and said, come over here and work with us. That's right. It's good old Kevin Bartelt, a.k.a. Chef Kevin, a.k.a. Chevin. Kevin, how are you?
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Was that enough time for you to get your things together?
My microphone was under an ottoman, and I was doing like James Bond-style parkour grabbing it, but I made it work. It's good to see everyone.
Welcome.
Yeah, good to see
Welcome,
you too.
Kevin.
Kevin and I have been working on the official Star Trek podcast together with me and Paul F., and when his departure from Earwolf timed out along with ours, I was like, well, come on over here and do this for a while.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, how has it been enjoying the racism along with us?
This feels like a trick question because if I say good, that feels like the wrong answer. But I guess I will say with both of you, it's been very enjoyable.
And you passed the test. And these are the types of whites we bring to you, ladies and gentlemen. We bring you the best whites who know not to say that the racism was good, but they know to say that spending time with us was good.
The whole interview process with you was just trick questions.
Oh, yeah. The trick questions haven't stopped. You failed one, but we won't tell you which until the end of the episode.
There's one in each email I send to you, Kevin, and sometimes there's not even a question in the email. So you're on a tightrope, my friend.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Okay, now that you just got your mic situated, you can put it away now because now we're going to talk about events. But thank you.
Okay,
nice to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to Kevin, everyone.
Yay.
Yeah. We're building a little United Colors of Benetton on the producer side.
That's
producers,
true.
Quite diverse.
Yes.
The most diverse group of producers in Hollywood? Almost certainly factually true.
Almost certainly.
As a percentage.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Uh-huh.
Producer PGA, I'm no expert and I don't have the data in front of me, but I would guess the PGA pretty white, just like all the other
Professional Golf Association?
The Producers Guild.
Ah.
Of America.
See, this is what happens to me. When I see PGA, I think golf.
Tawny loves golf. Can't stop.
It's because my dad used to play when I was a kid. My dad used to play a video game that was just golf, and it was called like PGA Pros or something. And it was just I would just fall asleep in the living room because it was the quietest game.
Yeah, golf video games
hush to it.
Are kind of awesome. Golf video games are, I think, the only sports video game where playing the video game is in every way superior to playing the sport.
Wow, really? You're coming for golf, huh?
Yeah, golf, fuck off.
Watch out. Oh, man. Wow.
Listeners, golf stands, hit me up. The tea hive.
Oh, boy. Yeah, defend defend your quiet sport.
Yeah.
Well, we had a different plan for today that got changed, but it doesn't matter because it's still a podcast. There's still racism to talk about. That's the interesting thing about this show is that even when we plan something and it doesn't go the way we think it's supposed to, there's always racism to discuss. So we never run out of content, as we say in the biz. Mm-hmm. And
ooh, content.
And it feels bad every time. But let's...
We got to make ourselves feel bad. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. So what do you want to tackle first? Now that we're completely rudderless in this episode, what do you want to tackle first?
Well, so I guess let's do the easy one second.
Yeah, man. If it bleeds, it leads. Come on.
Let's do the Nazi one second. So, yeah. So I feel like I was prepping myself a little more for this episode than I usually do because I did want to have a coherent thing to say about all the Asian people who are getting assaulted, older Asian people mostly. So I actually like thought about this a little more. And also I definitely got a couple not DMs, but like ats are like, you know, like, hey, why isn't Andrew talking about this? And it is sort of true. Like I am probably talking about this less than a lot of folks. But part of that is because, so I guess, so a friend of mine, a friend, who will remain nameless, but it's also like because it's not unique to him, an Asian dude, wrote this, like, in my opinion, like pretty unhinged post about how, like, he wants revenge. He wants to go out and beat people up who are perpetrating this anti-Asian violence. And that has been very pervasive, you know? I mean, even like, again, some of the people who are ultimately doing kind of the right thing, but like, you know, we talked about it before, like the, like, essentially putting bounties on people, like, you know, Asian people, like rich Asian, Hollywood Asian people, like putting bounties out for justice or like, who did this? That all to me is like part of the same circle of like revenge. And like, to me is like this toxicity about, you know, there's this like violence fantasy that I don't want to be part of. And there's this like indignance at like losing your white supremacy adjacency kind of, cause it's like these people, I mean, to me, so part of doing this and actually getting my thoughts straight because I'm a fucking lunatic, I tweeted a bunch of stuff about this because it's like, I feel like putting my thoughts out, not intentionally, but like I kind of end up doing this. I think if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see that, it's like 10% very bad jokes. And then like 90% these tweet storms that are like not enough words to be a blog post or like an essay, but just like a series of like 8 to 10 thoughts. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just had this thing where it's like, the violence that is happening now is part of like a cultural anti-Asian movement that has like sort of, you know, always existed, I assume exacerbated by COVID. It's weird how I don't really see that being like proven or documented, but it just has to be. That's like fine. But to me, I think it's like I am having a lot of trouble calibrating, like, I guess, a public response. I don't know if I need a public response, but...
I have a question, not related to your larger point, more just about what you just said about it being exacerbated by COVID-19. Mm-hmm. I had this feeling of like, is it that because East Asians and Asians in general are largely left out of the mainstream dialogue when it comes to racism? Is it almost like, well, being able to say there's anti-Asian sentiment because of COVID and because of, you know, people mistakenly thinking it's Asian people's fault, does that give people something to point to? Does that give them something to understand why the racism is happening? Whereas, like, it actually hasn't been that much of an uptick. It has always been happening. But when there kind of isn't something to point to for those of us who aren't Asian to say why, we just are left with, well, because racism. And that's like not fun to think about.
Well, I think it's both. I think at this point, this contradicts something I said a couple of weeks ago. I'm pretty sure I genuinely don't remember exactly what I said, but like, so it looks like there is an uptick in reporting of anti-Asian hate crimes. Mm. Probably that correlates to an uptick in them occurring. COVID-19 is obviously like part of, one possible explanation. Also it's like many of the perpetrators are like other people of color, and there have mm-hmm. been, it's like sometimes the motivation is robbery, etc. Like, so, whatever. There is lots of potential reasons. The answer is it's probably a little bit of all of them.
Yeah.
So who knows? But like most kind of waves of these things, it's like not probably one answer to answer your question. It's like probably a lot of little shit.
Mm. Sure.
Or like lots of little shit in concert acting to amplify each other to become like a wave and a trend. Mm-hmm. And part of it for me is like I'm having a lot of trouble calibrating a response this is probably Andrew's fault, messy, is that in terms of the people I interact with, most of the people on the social justice-y spectrum tend to be Black and Latino and white, actually. And most of the people, whereas my social group over-indexes for Asian people. Mm. And thus, I am seeing a lot of Asian people, and I, personally, Andrew, not the world. I am seeing in like my feeds and things like that, a lot of Asian people really giving a shit about this, but not having previously given, a shit about Black Lives Matter in any big, in a proportional way, let's say. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely coloring my perspective on like, these are Asian people who are just invested in Asian supremacy, not in, and who equality. Want revenge and not in equality. Yeah. That's the thing that I'm finding hard. So then I find it hard to say stuff because I'm like, I don't want to be associated with these people. I don't agree mm-hmm. with them. But it's also true that like shit is happening and we gotta do something, say something, etc. about it. So I don't know. So that's the sort of thing that is I was having trouble figuring out what to say, but I think I've sort of solidified it, which is like, so my snarky tweet, and this is very LA specific, but there is a restaurant in LA's Chinatown called Majordomo. And this is not really to single out Majordomo specifically, which is owned by David Chang, the guy, the Momofuku guy, who is Korean American, Asian. He's Asian. Like, not saying he's not, but the existence of that restaurant is like sort of emblematic and one significant piece of gentrifying Chinatown. And LA's Chinatown is home to a lot of elderly Asian people who are being, kicked out of their homes, like, not taken care of in many ways. And that my tweet essentially was like, look, I've been to that fucking restaurant. I'm definitely part of the problem. But like, we have all harmed elderly Asian people more by going to that restaurant or any other hipster, mm. White audience facing restaurant in Chinatown for just the thing that I'm familiar with. That has done more harm to elderly Asian people than your tweets about how we must protect. The phrasing I've seen many times that really makes my skin crawl is we must protect our elders.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it is very much like, in concert with the other shit I've seen these people like care about, it's like, we must protect our elders. You didn't give a shit about Black youths. You didn't give a shit about, Latino people being brutalized by the LA Sheriff's Department, whatever. Like, so it's just gross to me. And that is also my problem. Anyway, so to get away from all this, like, Andrew fucking justifying shit, I just wanted to say that, like, I think what is helpful is, like, both, especially, like, the Hollywood Asian people to, like, know that, like, yeah, fucking do something real. A couple things one can do in this town, and probably some version of it in whatever town you are, is like elderly Asian people are in LA, I know they are disproportionately not able to get access to the COVID vaccine because of the language barrier, and also in kind of like a fucked up irony. So LA's Chinatown is right next to Dodger Stadium, which is one of the big vaccine sites. But two things. One is you are not allowed to walk there and get your vaccine. You have to go in a car. It's a drive-up only site. So these elderly Chinese people, even though they are really close, can't walk there. And actually, even if they could, you have to go up a humongous hill, which many people are having trouble going on. And then signing up is difficult because of the language barrier. So if you are actually concerned about Asian people, tweeting your fantasies about how you want to take revenge on, like, physical violent revenge on perpetrators of this violence at the street personal level, by the way, many of those people who are Black, that's not helpful. But what is helpful would be helping 5, 10, 50, 100, you know, elderly Asian people get their COVID vaccines, make sure they're not thrown out of their apartments by the restaurants you enjoy so much. Things like that, like invest in that mutual aid, invest in, you know, community organizations that existed before this thing. Like, it's not about your own vanity about setting up a thing to protect Asian people now. Like, give money to the people who had been doing it before this wave of violence. And know that, like, mutual aid and, like, helping people and helping the elderly Asian people, that vulnerable elderly Asian people that you claim to be so concerned about, involves building bridges with the Black community, the Latino community, like, realizing we all stand together in the face of white supremacy, not about just, like, building a wall around the people who look like you. So, you know, those are the positive things. I was looking at the mutual aid group I work with, and the group sent a little bit of money from their working fund. So the group is, sorry, Solidarity and Snacks, I'll just say it now, but there's more later, to the Chinatown Community for Equitable Development in LA, CCEDLA.org. But there are other groups that have been around who are supporting Asian people and have been supporting Asian people. So, like, thinking that your fury is, like, somehow, you know, now you feel it, you know, now we're helping Asian people. It's like, you know, there are people that have been doing the work. And that those people are not me, I should say. Sorry, Tawny. I feel like I came prepared with, like, too many notes. So I am done. No. I'm done with the Asian part. Thank you for letting me soapbox.
No, it's good. It's good because it's, it's hard to, you never want to tell a marginalized group that is not your own how to react to things. But what I have been feeling is a lot of, like, your reaction is not as important as then your action, like what you choose to do with it. And, you know, there are a lot of Black people that just maybe got galvanized into some sort of activism this year, whether it was the George Floyd protests or just a buildup of of grievances that suddenly made some of us go, wait a minute, I need to do something about this. And that's fine. And I really don't want to, like, I know I've been down on those people before for kind of, like, just waking up to this stuff, but I really don't. I really feel like whatever you're reacting to, whatever was the galvanizing moment that makes you want to take action, that's great, but that's all it is. That is the moment. And then your action moving forward is what's important. And that's exactly what Andrew was talking about, is us being invested in and involved with groups that have been doing this work long before this very public, large kind of mainstream problem that is, because that's an easy thing to react to. These people have reacted to a lifetime of witnessing, you know, injustice and racism, and have built organizations that are not reactionary. They've done the work. Reaction and action. Like, I'm a fucking TED talk. they've done the work, and that's what we all need to do. Is just, you know, it's okay to be angry, but that's not what's gonna get shit done. It's the washing the dishes.
This is a little bit where I'm probably going to, once again, having attempted to pull myself out of trouble, this is where I'm going to get in trouble again, which is, I actually don't think it's okay to be angry for a pretty significant slice of Asian dudes. That's where
and
I will
think
say
that's okay for you to say, but I think that I'm not comfortable Fair. Saying that to people yeah. because I wouldn't want you to tell black people not to be angry about shit, you know? So yeah. That's just a very like, I'm going to stay in my lane and say your anger's fine, but I don't care about it as much and I want you to do something with it.
Yeah.
If you want to tell them not to be angry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying like a lot of these people's anger is frankly counterproductive and anti-black. And like, you know, that's a reaction. But I just think like they're doing it for them. I have friends yeah. who are like basically offering to be bodyguards. Like all it is this specific strain of like privileged Hollywood Asian dude who's like think they want to be a fucking badass or whatever. They're doing all this shit for them under the guise of, you know, again, help our elders. And it's just like, ugh, it just makes my skin crawl. And so, I don't know. That's why I've had so much fucking trouble with this. To pivot, even before the Nazi shit, there's one other audible I'm going to throw, which is like just an unfun one. And I actually apologize for this one. But so the mutual aid group that I've been like trying to, you know, help out with, Solidarity and Snacks in LA, which does, helps to bring, you know, supplies and contributions from the community to our neighbors in Skid Row. The tent that that had been used as sort of like the community hub and distribution site on Friday night before this episode comes out was basically burned down and ransacked by some people in the middle of the night. And so I spoke to some folks at the organization, at Solidarity and Snacks. It's an organization. It's just a mutual aid crew, whatever. And there isn't like a huge pressing fundraising need now. They had to like dig in and buy some stuff in a hurry at prices that were not good, just so that the supply distro on Saturday before this episode comes out could continue. But in general, like, you know, please contribute to them, Solidarity and Snacks on Venmo, or your own local mutual aid crew. Contribute where you can, because again, it's like, We ain't getting help. Okay, that is all. That was fucking distressing to see, but that was all happening. Anyway, now the fun stuff.
The fun stuff is pivoting to, did y'all know that the Nazis 4 years ago decided to renounce the swastika because it's too recognizable as being for Nazis? And so they adopted a new symbol to help them get into mainstream politics. And it's the Odal rune. And it kind of just looks like a half of a swastika with a little square in the center of it.
Yeah. It's basically swastikas.
Yeah. So they announced this and this was from their shitty website like 4 years ago, being like, we are going to use this symbol now because the swastika is too, basically like the swastika blew up our spot too much. So now we got a new symbol.
Swastika's too hot. So the Nazis, not, you know, the neo-Nazis announced that they were changing up their thing. And then the CPAC convention this year in 2021 is either just happened when this came out or will still be happening. I don't know how long this fucking neo-Nazi convention goes for, but they used that rune as their stage. I don't know. There's a we'll post a picture of it, or it's around Twitter, but, you know, I don't know.
Just won't. Google the CPAC 2021 stage. It just looks like a 3D manifestation of that.
Yeah,
it is. It doesn't look like it is.
Yeah. So I don't know what to say other than, conservatives are Nazis, but in their own words, not my words.
And just for anyone who has, maybe they have someone in their life who's going to be like, no, it's not that. It's just the shape of the state, blah, blah. If you have some dense person that you need to convince, all I will say is that for an event of this size, like, think about how much attention to detail goes into even a county fair. Think about a small organization. Think about the marketing, the meetings, the constant meetings and the attention to detail and the, we can't use this color because it evokes this, or this looks too much like that, that goes back and forth. Think of every meeting you've been in at your job to go over pointless, obnoxious details. And then think about an event of this size. And then tell me that was an accident or a coincidence. There is zero chance. There is a 0% possibility.
I will throw out this other way. So for everyone who doesn't have this pictured in front of them right now, essentially they had to cut you know, they had a little like kind of like a normal size stage, and then there's like little wings off it that make up part of the rune. But they also had to cut out the middle of the stage to complete the rune. Basically, like that is an intentional thing that makes the space less usable and kind of dangerous, actually. And so there's like no accidental way that this happens. This is like, we're going to make our stage worse to pander to Nazis. And this is like a common thing with conservatives, right? It's like when the Proud Boys adopted the AOK hand signal for their Nazi thing, you know, members of Congress will flash it. Like police obviously flash it all the time, but you know, it's mm-hmm. like this like plausible deniability, but not for conservatives. And I don't know. I don't know if there's anything more to say about it, but
I would just like to say that I hope no one falls off that Nazi stage and hurts themselves.
Yeah, I definitely hope that the Nazi pit doesn't swallow up any of the Nazis walking upon it.
You could break a bone. Okay, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll do some voicemails.
Ta-da! We're back. Didn't that feel nice? Didn't mm-hmm. you take a nice break to hear about one of our cool sponsors?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that nice feeling is over. Now we're going to listen to some racism voicemails.
Yeah, I think on the basis of my first act filibuster, we might as well just get into it. So let's go.
Hi, Andrew, Tawny, Zig, producers, and guests. I'm a Black woman working in the psychiatry department at a hospital. So our department scheduled a training on examining whiteness. So we got an email saying this is for white people's self-exploration. But, okay, so a few other staff members and I got a separate email saying that we don't have to participate because it's to help white people's self-exploration and to be better allies. So people of color aren't included, which is fine. I don't think they mean any harm. Like, we're in a progressive hospital and environment. I just feel like that should be incorporated into our regular, like, be nice to people, racial sensitivity training. And honestly, like, I grew up around a lot of white people in school as a kid, and they're really nice. You know, I married a white guy. They're super duper nice. So I just want to be a support. And I'm not sure if I'm being racist for wanting to like get in on this and incorporate them into our sensitivity trainings, or like if white people need their own like brave space, safe space. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you for throwing in some. No, it's cool. I have white friends. Some of my best husbands are white.
I loved the, wait a minute, white people are so nice. I grew up around them. Do you know how great they are? She truly did sound delighted to reveal that.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, caller. Thank you for giving a shout out to all of our ghosts of producers past. It's a real grab mm-hmm. bag. You never know who's going to be here.
It's true. That's on us. But those are just the people. If we've worked for them for any significant, you know what it is? It is like a little bit of the mindset of this show. It does feel a little bit of a high wire every time we have someone new. I mean, that's definitely part of the thing. One of the things that we've been like dealing with our new setup, like having fewer guests, having it be me and Tawny very often, only sometimes producer Matt. But it is like just there's a little ghost of risk every time we have someone new.
Yeah.
And so I guess we have just formed a bubble.
Yeah, we formed a little COVID bubble for the show. Because, like, you want to make sure that they feel comfortable, like, they can talk about what they want to, but you also don't want them saying something wild that you're going to have to, like, clean up later. Mm-hmm. But generally, I think we're mostly, like, trying to make sure that everyone's comfortable. And, you know, it's just hard when you don't do this every week for a bunch of years, like you have been doing and, like, I have partially been doing. Mm-hmm. It can seem daunting to talk about this stuff, which is why this very progressive hospital wants to segregate all the people and Put the is white this, people in yeah. how to be better white school.
Is this, I really can't. This is one of the times I'm very conflicted because I'm like, probably this means that, yeah, I think the caller ultimately is probably right that this means like this shit should be for everyone and everyone, you know, like, and separating out white people kind of in theory doesn't work or is it not a good idea, like just giving white people a safe space.
No, because anytime at a workplace you divide the races, it's not a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go. I don't care what the reason is. You're dividing people by color at work. Just don't. Give me one example where that works.
Yeah. Well, to me, it's the kind of shit where it's like functionally or theoretically bad idea, but possibly functionally good idea. As in, the people of color shouldn't have to deal with this shit.
But
it is ultimately a bad idea. It will not work, but at least it won't waste some people's time.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
It won't put black members at that workplace through the trauma of having to hear white people be like, when I was in high school, I touched a girl's hair and I didn't apologize, you know, or like whatever things they're needing to air. But also, it's not like people of color are free from bias either. Like, there's a world in which we all need that at different levels, and assuming you can decide who needs it most based on the whiteness of their skin kind of works, but it does. It's not foolproof. So
I guess the real I would say, to me, the reasoning would be, and maybe this is kind of what's happening, is that you actually need like everyone there so that you can actually tell, you know, so that the white folks can learn. So otherwise it like feels like it won't work. That's my
unless
thought.
It's one of those, you know, those guys who go and do the, and this is not even a dig at them, I'm like, God bless you for doing this work, I refuse. You know those guys who lead those like workshops where you can like gather 10 of your best white friends and they like walk you through racism 101 with like a dodgeball or whatever. If it's something like that where like the people giving the workshop, I don't know. It sounds like a bad idea.
Well, you say you refuse. I will just say there is an amount of money that Tawny and I will come to your place of work and sort your shit out. I'm not saying that amount is low. I'm saying that, in fact, that amount is very high, but it is not, it exists. That number exists, and potentially someday someone will find that number. That's all. I just want to leave us
I
open.
I will not say who, but I did. I will say that I had a white actor that I worked with a long time ago email me to ask if I would join them in one of these workshops as like their friend, question mark. I mean, we were not friends. We got along fine, but I was like, we have nothing in common other than we worked together once. And they were doing this like workshop pretty frequently, and they were talking about how great it was and how they'd learned so much. And this was like a good person. This wasn't like a bigot. It was just someone wanting to learn and wanting me to like join them. And I couldn't tell if they wanted me to join them because they were like, everyone should learn. And to that, I wanted to be like, do you know what I sit down and do every Sunday afternoon? Like, I don't need to talk about this for free. But then the other part of me was like, oh, maybe they think because I do this, that then this is like a fun hobby for me. And I was like, either reason why you want me to join, it's going to be a no.
You know, just emotional labor should be compensated, and we'll just probably leave it at that. And again, emotional labor should be compensated, and our rate is high. Unless you consider this to be part of it, in which case our rate is sometimes
cool
quite
10
low.
G's.
Per some unit of time, which we will not tell you until you make an offer.
So wait, Andrew, are you saying that this caller, that their hospital should have the workshop, have all people invited, but just pay the people of color to attend? Is that your capitalist approach to solving this?
God, is it fucked up if my answer is yes? It is, but it still might be my answer. Yeah, I don't fucking know.
Here's what I say you got to do. Everyone has to fill out, they have to write an anonymous confession, a racism confession, and not say their race or color or whatever. Turn it in. And then there needs to be like a sliding scale of like, everyone has to come to this, but some people, they're going to get paid.
How do you
get paid if they didn't do a bad racism?
Yeah, I know. I I just think like, maybe that's it. Maybe part of the problem is just like individual workplaces. It's sort of like healthcare. It's like, that's the worst place for people to get their shit taken out or sorted out. Like same with healthcare. It's like, this should be a basic societal thing that everyone does. And having it be pinned to the specific needs of your work to not, you know, get dragged on Twitter. Basically, because that's the only reason why your work is doing it. They don't want to get canceled.
Yeah.
And that's like the worst reason and worst way to accomplish this shit. Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
It's like the best we got, but the worst way to do it.
And this is a poor analogy, I'm realizing, but it just made me think of the only thing like this that I've had to attend for work is like those network or Netflix, like HR, you know, like where they're talking about harassment and like bullying, and like it's kind of all like one big thing. And the couple that I've gone to have actually been like very chill, and like the people there are very smart, and it's just very like, nothing about it makes me uncomfortable, maybe because I've never abused anyone on set. So I'm not like worried about something I did in the past. I'm just like, oh, interesting. This is how we're talking about things now. But I don't know. Like, what if they just did those, but only did it for like men because they perceive them to be more, you know, the percentage of them having inappropriate behavior is higher, and then said like, women, you don't have to come to this. That would be super fucked up.
Would it though?
I know it's not the same, but
I mean, but that's the thing. It's like, that would probably, it's like in an imperfect way, but it would quote unquote work. Like it just would work. unless it doesn't. And the ways in which it doesn't are pretty bad, but you know,
yeah,
it's like, yeah, honestly, probably for both. In terms of like shit that will get a workplace sued or whatever, both gendered harassment, homophobic harassment, and racist harassment, probably like cutting for men would just do just as good a job as cutting for white people in terms of like, assuming those trainings actually worked. And I think the real problem is by segregating the training like that, it doesn't work. Not that it works that well anyway.
Right.
But it probably works even worse. Did the caller have a she was like, should I go? We've gotten so far off of her call.
No, we're close to it.
I guess she should go.
Yeah, if you want to go if you want, but you've been told you don't have to. I'm also a big fan of anytime a workplace says we're doing this thing and it's optional and you don't have to go. Like, as a person of color, you have dealt with this shit enough in your life that you don't need to go. But I do think they should be offering it to everyone.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Yes. Because it'll again, work better. It won't work perfect or even that well.
Yeah.
But it'll work better if everyone's there. Hoy, oy, oy. Oh, well, it's another voicemail time. Having successfully nailed this one.
Look, I am a white man that... let's just say grew up colorblind because I grew up in an area that was predominantly one religious affiliation. So the xenophobia crossed not racial lines, but religious lines. And so I ended up marrying a mixed race woman who gets mistaken for Mexican, even though she's Native American, but she doesn't have any culture for it because of several adoptions, so it's a little confusing. Whatever. We had a kid. She's, you know, only about an eighth Native American. Should I encourage her to, like, take an Ancestry.com test and explore her Native ancestry? Thank you. Goodbye.
Tawny's visibly pained for anyone.
Okay. Caller, thank you for calling the show. Thank you for being a listener and supporting. I have some qualms. First of all, the first three sentences of this call or I'll say three little beats of this call bothered me deeply. You came on aggressive. It startled me. Your emphasis on white, while sometimes it's funny, I don't know, it bothered me coming out of your mouth. And then there was a third thing. Oh, colorblind, because you grew up in a religious community. I don't know. A lot of it makes me, I think this is an important thing for maybe for white people to know, is that even when their heart is in the right place, sometimes when they're a little too flippant or weird about this shit or using terms like colorblind, when their intended effect is to say like, hey, I'm cool, I'm like one of y'all, it really puts us on guard. It makes brown people go like, what is this person up to? So I just want you to know that the beginning of your voicemail, also I don't feel like the beginning of your voicemail had shit to do with the end of it. Like, why are you telling me how colorblind you are just to tell me about whether or not you're going to get your daughter a 23andMe test? Like, I don't know. It bothered me. But again, thank you for being a listener. I'm sure you're one of the good ones. And then my full answer is like, I don't give a shit about those DNA tests. I'm so sick of people in Hollywood taking them and then changing their last name to a fake Spanish one and then like getting jobs because of it. So stop taking those tests. I don't like them. They're bullshit. That's my whole take. Go ahead, Andrew.
I cannot believe I'm about to potentially come to the caller's defense, but I actually did read when he said colorblind that he recognized that that was a bullshit way to grow up, but maybe not. I feel like you probably are.
Okay.
That was the only part that I was like, I think he's,
I will admit it. Anytime a white person says colorblind, but like one of my ears does close and like my eyes cross a little bit. So I may not have paid full attention to the rest of his sentence.
Yeah. Fair enough. But no, I mean, it's like, whatever. It was kind of a lot of real like back patty energy on this call that I think we both should say was a little off-putting. Yeah. The DNA test thing. I mean, more succinctly, it's like, there's this thing with like, I think like white people thinking that someone else's journey is theirs to like manipulate. Like that's your partner and your daughter's thing. I don't know. Like, is encouraging, I guess maybe it's that when he says encourage, we're hearing the beginning of the call and it's like, well, if you're going to encourage like that, then you definitely shouldn't do any of it.
I guess I'm like, so taking what the caller said about their wife is like, they said that their wife isn't super tapped into their her native culture.
Mm-hmm.
So then what would...
Yeah, what does this look like?
Why isn't it... Yeah, what does this look like? So then your daughter's going to get real into some shit based on a weird gene test that her mom isn't even maybe all that versed in. Like... Why aren't we just taking cues from the mom? Like, whatever connection the mom has to whatever mixed culture she has, like, that's her deal to pass on to the daughter in whatever form she sees, and that's all gravy. Like, that's... Why are we looking for a weird test to... We know that your daughter's Native American because she came out of your wife, so let's just deal with the facts there, you know?
I think, caller, it's that... We're definitely thrown by your energy, but if this is the energy you're bringing to that conversation, I think it's got to be, like, you know, a little less about you and your force of personality and more about the actual people of color in question.
Yeah.
You know?
And I will say that could be a thing about this show where people have gotten into a habit of, like, self-identifying very intensely to give context for the call.
Yeah.
I don't think this one needed it. So again, I'm sure you're one of the good ones. Sure, we love you people. The whites are the... What do we say when we ring a bell? We love white people. They're the best.
What do we say? Yeah, we love them. We love them.
In the words of the previous caller, and this is true for me as well, I grew up around a lot of white people and they're so nice. They're so great. They're so nice. We're sure you are too, caller. Thank you.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I think it's just like, you can't let someone else be your person of color. Like, you can't, there's nothing there. You just gotta let it happen and take your whiteness out of it.
I want your wife to call in.
Yeah.
Tell her to call in as a little follow-up. I want to hear from her on this issue, and I want her to ask whatever questions.
Yeah, and we are... probably going to forget that this call happened and definitely going to say she should divorce you. So just be ready for that. It's nothing personal, but that's almost certainly what at least I'm going to say. I'm just letting you know now.
We can't be expected to remember any of these calls.
No.
But again, we do love you and thank you for contributing.
Thank
you're
you.
All very special to us. We're going to wrap this up now.
Yeah. That's the show. Thanks for listening.
It's time to go.
Thank you. Thank you both Tawny and every listener for putting up with my soapboxing. I feel like I came in hot also again because see, this is why people complain that we're underprepared, but that's what fucking happens when I prepare. So
who complained that we're underprepared?
Just Twitter.
Oh, I'm gonna fucking lose my mind. This is why I don't look at the fucking comments. No. You think we're underprepared? You do this fucking job.
Yeah.
You do the racism show. Because guess what? Even if we were perfectly prepared, it's not enough. Because racism always wins. So get the fuck out of here. If you want preparedness, go listen to Crooked Media.
I will just say I think we're less entertaining when we're prepared. So that's what you fucking get.
Yeah.
We're worse. We're worse at what
we
do.
This is a comedy show.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. Call in 323-897-223. That's 323-89-RACE.
We love you and appreciate you.
To leave your voicemails. suboptimalpods.com. Thanks for subscribing, continuing to subscribe. We really appreciate it.
Yes.
This week, on the Suboptimal Bundle, there's a little gem from Tawny and friend of the show, but really friend to every single human being on earth, Poonam Patel. So go listen to that. And that's it. We said everything.
We did everything. We love you. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye. This is Suboptimal.